May it please the court, Maynard Steinberg on behalf of Stable Investments. As the court knows, the issue here is whether the Farm Service Agency committed an error of law when it determined that the beneficiaries of an Illinois land trust who have the exclusive right to exercise all the attributes of legal ownership under state and federal law do not qualify as the owner under regulations.
But the regulation defines an owner as one who has legal ownership of the land. And vis-a-vis trusts, doesn't that traditionally mean the trustee and not the beneficiary? Because it's the trustee that holds the title.
And I think that's the distinguishing issue. When you look at whether it's the definitions or all the case law, legal title is one particular facet of what an owner could have. But ownership, the attributes of ownership, are the rights to control, enjoy, use, and get the earnings from it.
Well, we need to talk about Gladstone Glen, I guess, because yes. You seem to want to read legal ownership as meaning ownership in fact or actual ownership. But that would be contrary, I believe, to Gladstone Glen, which drew a distinction between legal ownership on the one hand and equitable ownership or ownership in fact on the other. So if we could...
Right. And in Gladstone Glen, the court ultimately concluded that the beneficiary, Gladstone Glen, was in fact had the ownership, as that term was used in the bankruptcy statute. And that term ownership continues out throughout the regulations, whether it's the Department of Agriculture or other departments. And in holding that Gladstone Glen had all those rights of ownership, the court in essence held that the beneficiary of a land trust is the one who has the rights of ownership. Title being something different.
It seems to me that Stable Investments essentially wants to read legal ownership to mean ownership in fact and practice. And, you know, going through your briefs, often the term legal is you know, next to ownership is just omitted. I mean, I was making...
I think there's, if you look at the briefs of the government and versus our brief, I tried to be very meticulous in using those words carefully. I'm not so sure about the government's briefs. They could be a little confusing. Because if you look at Black's Law Dictionary, and even in the district court opinion, there seems to be a willingness to substitute or an error in substituting the legal owner, which is a defined term in Black's Law Dictionary, and ownership. And the use of the word legal implies that ownership has to be defined somehow, and I think that's what the regulation does.
No. Legal ownership has an established meaning in the law, and I think that Gladstone Glen reflects that legal ownership rests with the trustee.
Legal title rests with the trustee. I respectfully disagree. The ownership itself...
Where is the term legal owner in the regulations or statute? Or
it doesn't exist in the statutes or
where
regulations.
Where does it come out of then?
No. The regulation says that in the very first instance that an owner is one who has legal ownership of farmland, and that is 7 CFR section 718.2.
Right, legal ownership. And ownership has a different meaning than legal title. And in Gladstone Glen, they use both phrases for different purposes.
But the point is, legal ownership should include the ability to sell the property.
And the beneficiaries are the one who can authorize the trustee to sell this property. No one else can.
Where is this? Where is this?
7 CFR.
Yeah, I know, but where? 7 CFR 718-2 goes over many pages. So where is this legal owner?
Under the word owner is defined. Legal owner is not in there. Owner is.
It's 14.
You're saying legal owner is not in the regulation?
Legal owner is nowhere in any regulation.
The term legal owner.
It's nowhere in any of the regulations.
Well, section 14.12.42, an owner is defined as one who has legal ownership of farmland, right. And then it spells that,
right.
Spells those provisions out, those five. That's what.
Right, and then ownership under Illinois law is, and all of
where is this? I can't find this. I'm looking at 718.
Under the definition
of
owner.
50 different paragraphs, so where is it?
Under the definition of owner.
Oh, I see. Owner means one who has legal ownership of
right.
farmland.
Right, that's it.
Thanks. All right.
Legal
what do you
ownership.
Care about this, by the way? What is your stake in this? Your client's stake?
Personal stake is modest.
$428.
Well, so what do you, why is there this litigation over this trivial sum?
Because the issue is more important for all of the farmers in Illinois and in other states.
Well, what are you, some kind of... What is this? It's important for... What is this, a class action on behalf of all farmers in the United States, or what?
Robin Hood.
So you have $497 at stake.
$428. Let's not inflate the number.
As some kind of public citizen, or...
When
do-gooder, you're spending lots of money, your client's spending lots of money on a lawyer in order to help all the little people in the country? What's this?
I think you're right.
Why should we be pestered with a stupid little case like
because
this?
Because this issue affects individuals.
Well, why doesn't it doesn't affect someone who's suing for $480 if there's someone who for whom this is a meaningful, has a genuine interest in this esoteric issue? Why isn't that person suing?
I mean,
probably nobody cares about this, and that's except your clients. They're probably eccentrics of some sort.
I made this presentation to the state county, to the county committees of the FSA, and to the state committees of the FSA. Both of those committees agreed with me. There are farmers who are elected to those boards. The staff, which is controlled by the people in Washington, were told them they could not follow what they thought was right. It affects the planning for estates in the state. It affects the people who own farms in the state.
Why
it's
does
not
it affect
a trivial
people
matter.
Who own farms?
Because
who
many
cares whether the trustee isn't going to keep these agricultural benefits, going to pass them on to the farmer.
But they can't, because under the terms of the trust agreement...
The trust, a bank gets agricultural benefits?
No, the beneficiaries of the land trust get the benefits.
Right, so what do they care who has the legal ownership?
Because the ownership, if it goes to the beneficiaries, then they have the rights, and they're the only ones under the terms of the land trust agreement who can fulfill those the obligations. The government's recommendation to do a successor in interest and have the trust itself make the application for the benefits has resulted in numerous farmers being audited by the IRS because they don't file the taxes on what the trust gets. They just pass it through. The entire system of taxation of these trusts and the people who own it are set up on this basis. We attach the revenue ruling. The IRS has established a procedure. They recognize ownership as having one meaning. This court recognized ownership as having the same meaning in In re Gilchrist.
Wait, I don't understand you. I don't understand. Don't the agricultural benefits, whatever they are, don't they flow through to the beneficial owner?
If the trust is the one receiving it, then the trust has to get its own taxpayer identification number. The trust, though, as a matter of contract, is not entitled to make those claims. So it can't flow through.
You seem to think that the trustee cannot, in fact, accept payments on the beneficiary's behalf. Is that right?
That's correct. Nor can he make the application because he cannot own the property. He cannot sell the crops. He cannot enter into a lease for the farm. All the documents that are required for
participation. So you're saying that if there's a trust, the farmer himself doesn't get any benefits?
If there's the land trust, then the beneficiaries are the ones who enter into all the contracts. The beneficiaries are the ones who receive all the benefits. The land trustee, the trust in a land trust, that trustee, only holds title and does nothing else.
So what's the problem? I don't understand you.
The government decided in the last few years that in order for them to define who the owner is, they're going to require that you submit your deed. The deed only lists the trustee. It does not list the beneficiaries. The regulation, 71.82, when it identifies owners, it identifies a whole set of categories of people, classes, or potential classes of people, individuals, none of whom hold title. That's the definition of owner.
Look, you are not answering my question.
Sorry.
I want to know where the benefits go.
The benefits go to the beneficiaries.
Then what's the problem? If the farmer gets the benefits, who cares whether you have this bank or whatever that is somehow in between the agriculture department and the farmer? As long as the farmer gets the benefits, what are we talking about? A little extra paperwork for someone?
The trustee is not allowed to, under the terms of the land trust, to get any benefits or to even apply for
them. Look, you are not responding to my question. You just said the beneficiary gets the benefits. You said that 2 minutes ago.
Right, if the beneficiary is able to apply.
Well, what do you mean able to apply?
In this case, the government said that the beneficiaries cannot apply.
Well, who can apply?
The land trust.
Yes, but it has to flow the benefit. The land trust cannot keep the benefits. It has to give it to the beneficiary of the trust. Obviously, that's what a trust is about.
But it is not the normal kind of trust.
But here's my problem.
I don't believe you.
Staple is a general partnership composed of you and the other lawyer listed on the briefs. And it was Staple that owned the property and chose to transfer the title to Heartland Bank.
Right. We chose to hold the property in a trust.
Right. And then once you put it in the trust, any assets of the trust or any benefits that come into the trust go to the beneficiaries,
which is you, but in a land trust, nothing comes
so
into
you're not
the
getting
trust.
Any benefits? Is that what you're saying?
Don't
tell me if. Do you get any benefits, or do they all stop at the trust level?
The trust gets no benefits.
You
we get
answer
everything.
My question.
We get
Do
all the
you
benefits.
Get benefits?
We get
then
the benefits.
Then what on earth are you complaining about? You're getting the benefits.
No.
You just said you're getting all the benefits.
Is
we
it
get
more
the benefits.
You're the most inarticulate lawyer I've ever heard.
We get the benefits for the contracts we enter into. Whatever we enter into, we can get.
Right.
But the land trust is different than any other of these kinds of trusts. The land trustee only holds title. He cannot apply for anything else. He doesn't do anything.
But how does that affect your benefits?
It doesn't affect my benefits because as the beneficiary, we have...
What are you complaining about? You get your benefits. Why are you complaining?
Because the government will not allow the beneficiaries of the land trust to apply for the benefits.
But you're the beneficiary,
and they will not
allow benefits. Who cares?
So what happens to the assets in the land trust? They just stay there forever, and
no.
The beneficiaries on the land trust never get anything?
There are no... The only asset in the land trust is a piece of paper, the title, if that's even an asset. There are no assets in the trust.
The whole thing is so illusory.
It's total nonsense. Why did you create this trust?
That's my point. You chose to do
why?
This. And you
so
created
stupid.
A trust where you can't
because
get... Or why wouldn't the trust enter into the agreement with DCP, with the Department of Agriculture?
We created the land trust. And
would you answer my question? I asked you why. Would you just answer that and not fence with me?
I'm not. We put the property in the trust.
I asked you why. Would you just tell me, not what you did, why did you put it in the trust?
To simplify our future estate planning issues.
How does it simplify it?
Because the property in my name would pass to my beneficiaries without a partition or a sale of the partnership assets. And that's the main benefit of land trusts. For all those farmers who have large family farms.
Now wait, the benefit is, I didn't understand. The benefit is what?
That the property can pass to beneficiaries of the individual without partition suits that would dissipate the property.
Without partition suits?
Yeah, if we don't have to dissolve the partnership, we don't have to separate it, the people will get their own interests in the property.
Right. And wouldn't interest in the property also be benefits or funds that might come into it? But you're saying you set up this trust and no assets go into it.
No, it's not that type of trust. It's a trust that only holds title. It does not get any assets. It does not do any business. It does not receive any dividends. It does not do anything. And that's why it has no taxpayer ID number.
So the assets are just floating around somewhere.
The assets are held by the partnership. The title is held by the trust.
So it's kind of a slick way to put the title somewhere else. The bottom line is it avoids certain tax consequences and certain inheritance consequences.
No, you still pay inheritance tax. You would still pay transfer tax.
Why
it doesn't
the
avoid
partnership
taxes.
Just why couldn't the partnership contract provide for these each partner's interest goes to his heir or something like that? What do you need a trust for?
Because as time goes on, your heirs and beneficiaries change. And the same thing with all the other farmers who have placed their property in the land trust. It's a benefit to them to be able to plan for their estates. And that's why billions of dollars of land are placed in these land trusts. Mm-hmm. The individual controls it. The same as it would be a revocable trust, but there's no real assets in there.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Steinberg. Mr. Kuhn?
Go right to it, Mr. Kuhn. Can the trustee accept payments on the beneficiary's behalf?
Certainly.
Oh. Okay.
In fact, the county the county FSA office told Stable Investments that's exactly what they should do. They need to fill out a successor and interest form, submit it, and the payment will go to the trustee, and then it would flow through to them.
Mr. Kuhn, what is this case about?
It's about $448.
Right. So
really, what do you think the case is about?
Now, he said, Mr. Steinberg said there are billions of dollars right. in these land trusts.
Well,
so.
This regulation has been around since March of 2003. It's never been challenged before. So this obviously has not bothered anybody before.
And this process you described, that they fill out this little form to get the benefits, is something that's been in effect for some time?
Yes.
And people have used it, and it's not created any problems?
No. No. In fact, the USDA, the Farm Service Agency at the county level, told them, this is what you need to do. And they respectfully declined and then came to federal court.
So do you think the secrecy aspect of the Illinois Land Trust is being overemphasized here, given that it also certainly seems to serve an important function in facilitating transfer? And well, given how commonly it's used in Illinois, not to speak of, I guess, all 50 states.
Well, I think it's unique to Illinois. I think they used to have something similar in Florida, but they were the only states that had anything like
is that?
This land trust. And its basic use, one of its primary uses, is for secrecy. They chose it. They put. They don't appear in the chain of title anywhere. And as Mr. Steinberg said,
of course, the secret is out now, isn't it?
Secret's out now, definitely. As Mr. Steinberg said, they can easily transfer the beneficial interest by executing a document between private parties, and it never goes public.
So if I now think that this case is about secrecy, would I be right?
In part it is, yes, because the USDA, in this particular county, they know that these two gentlemen are affiliated with that particular farm. But around the state of Illinois and anywhere else in the country, if something like this were set up, they wouldn't know, and they wouldn't be able to verify that they're actually paying the benefits to the right person.
So
you want an application from the beneficiary.
You want that form you discussed so that you can be ensured that the money is getting to the right people,
right.
Bottom line.
From the legal owner,
right,
and as the agency, using their interpretation, they found that to be the title holder. And that's not an unreasonable interpretation. It should
be
a title deference.
So do you view this as a total subterfuge? How are you viewing this?
This case has puzzled me since the day it came through my door.
Is what? I didn't hear you.
This case has puzzled me since the day it came through my door. If there are no other questions, I'll ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kuhn. So, Mr. Steinberg, your time ran out, but we'll give you another minute.
I believe this has nothing to do with secrecy. It's not a subterfuge. It's the application of the plain and ordinary meaning of the word ownership.
But what's your objection to just filling out this form that Mr. Kuhn mentioned?
Because as has happened with other farmers who did fill it out, they then subject themselves to IRS audit.
Not, so this is about secrecy.
No. What happens is that because the trust never gets an IRS number, it's not required. Under the IRS regulations, the money flows directly through to the beneficiaries normally. And it's only in the last few years that they changed their procedure where they wanted legal title. So that under that new procedure where they want to do a succession and interest, the trust now takes out an IRS number. But the trust never files any return normally because they never did anything before. And that money, even if they pass it on to the successor, the trust, which is the bank now, is being audited for each one of their ones that they've done this on, asking them, well, where's your return? Even if you pass the money on, we want to see all the documentation. It adds more layers of
paperwork.
Well, that's
the bank's problem. That's not your problem.
Yes, not you.
Well, it becomes our problem.
How does it become your problem?
Because the bank charges us.
Create this.
Right. It's about that money, isn't it?
And it's
okay.
Continuing.
Oh, now I know.
Is that the $482?
No, that $448 would have been the benefits that would have normally come to us as the beneficiaries. But because title was held by the land trustee, we were deemed not to have ownership of the property. But we think ownership has its distinct meaning, and it would include just the all the attributes that the beneficiaries have. And under that definition, and the examples given in the regulation, all of those people have ownership of the property, but none of them have title. Not one other person has to have title, but the land trust.
And but that's just so why I understand, so the real consequence is that if you fill out that form, the trust gives the benefits to the beneficiaries, then the bank has to file a tax form, gets a tax ID, and so therefore the fees the bank might charge for creating the land trust go up.
And then the tax and the processing of the tax in the IRS, when normally it would have just gone flowed straight through.
And how much do you think we're talking about here with the bank?
Well, you got the bank fee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus
how much?
The another accounting fee for a tax person. It's maybe $200 per farm.
So we're actually talking about $600-some.
And it's every year.
Right.
How big is your farm?
86 acres.
86 acres. What do you grow on it?
It rotates between corn and soybeans. Mm-hmm. And we have another farm in the same trust. This one, though, because it's a crop share, we are able to apply for the benefits. The other one is just a cash.
Right.
And so there is no benefits right on the other farm.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think we've learned a little tiny bit about the case. So.